In an ever-increasingly loud and cluttered world, how do you stand out and become distinctive without being obnoxious? Well, that's why we've asked Scott McCain to come in and talk with us. Scott is an internationally recognized expert on distinction and author of 3 best-selling books, as well as a keynote speaker. He's helped companies like BMW, Intel, Chevron, Hallmark, Merrill Lynch, and Remax be more distinctive. Scott, welcome to Success.
Darren, it's a privilege to be with you. Thank you so much.
So, Scott, since you have traveled the world giving speeches and doing lots of research on the subject, as we start out our discussion today, I'd love for you to share a story that inspired you, wowed you into changing some part of how you think.
You know, Darren, it's interesting you ask that because I have some, you mentioned in the introduction, a lot of corporate clients, but to me, the one that knocked me out was a taxi ride I had in Jacksonville, Florida. I was going in to speak at a meeting of Merrill Lynch, and flight's late, long taxi line, and I finally work my way to the front, and the cab driver pulls up, jumps out, points at me in the front of the line, and shouts, "Are you ready for the best cab ride of your life?" Well, talk about setting a distinctive expectation, and I'm half asleep. I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so." He said, "Get in." He gets my bag, he puts it in the trunk, he jumps in the cab, turns around and shakes my hand and says, "Mr. McCain," he said, "I saw your name on your luggage. I figured I might as well use it." He said, "I'm Taxi Terry." Taxi Terry, it's a story that I tell many times in my presentations, but Taxi Terry gave me the most incredible, amazing, distinctive cab ride I've ever had in my life. He gets me to the hotel and he takes out my bag and he hands it to the bellman and he says, "Presenting Mr. McCain." I'd never been presented before. He was just absolutely spectacular and amazing and distinctive. If there's anything that inspired me about that, it's that if a simple cab driver can make that happen in his community, then if I'm not doing it for my clients, if the listeners aren't doing it for their customers, what's our excuse? There is a way to be distinctive about anything that we do if we'll just be committed and creative enough to make it happen.
So speaking of the ubiquity of yellow taxis, you point out a phenomenon amongst businesses, which is a phenomenon of uniformity. And yes, that's the base of many problems that business have. So explain what you think is causing this particular phenomenon.
I've termed them the destroyers of differentiation, Darren. The three things that pull us back to the pack like a magnet. Quickly, the three are, number one, copycat competition. If I see that you have an advantage, and if we're in the same marketplace, then my initial inclination is to imitate that. I don't want you to get ahead of me, so I watch what you're doing, and I'm just going to make certain that if you have an advantage, that I jump in there and bring the same thing too. And what often happens is that also works from the other side. You're watching me, not wanting me to get ahead, and so in many cases, you may imitate what I do. Well, from the customer's perspective, that creates a couple serious problems. Number one, if I'm imitating you and you're imitating me, then what we've accomplished is to commoditize ourselves from the customer's perspective. The customer can't see any meaningful differentiation between us. And when the customer sees no differentiation, then to become a customer, they have to make a choice. So it tends to be about price. But the second unintended consequence is the one that's most impactful. That is that if I'm spending so much time watching you and you're spending time watching me, we could be in danger of paying more attention to our competitor than our customer. And I think that businesses get in trouble when they pay more attention to the competition than they do the customer. The second is tougher competition. And I think the internet has brought much of that to the forefront. In other words, your customers now have infinite access to information. It used to be the way that I would get information is to go to a salesperson and ask questions. Now I can get, in many cases, the same information the salesperson has simply through a Google search. It fundamentally changes the nature of what sales and marketing is about. Now what the customer is seeking is insight and wisdom more than they are just more information. And so you have to distinguish yourself in that advantage. The third one is one that we see all the time in many industries, and it kind of relates to something my mom taught me growing up on a farm in Indiana. Mom always said, "Familiarity breeds contempt." Well, with all due respect to Mom, the problem is it's not so. The more I get to know you, it doesn't mean I start holding you in scorn. Familiarity doesn't breed contempt. Instead, it breeds complacency. The longer you've been my customer, the greater the likelihood is I'll take you for granted. And the inverse is true as well. The longer I've been your customer, the longer I've been doing business with you, the greater the likelihood is I'll take all the great things that you're doing me for granted as well. And so when you put those three together, that we're copying each other in the marketplace, that the customer is looking not for information anymore, and that therefore it makes competition tougher because they can showroom and get information from their smartphones, and that we may be taking our best clients for granted and they're taking us for granted, you put those together and you've created a collapse of distinction.
So you said something there that might be off the beaten path a little bit, but I just would love to have you drill down a little bit further.
Sure.
Because in the consultative sales process, which all of us are in, regardless of what it is that we do, right?
Absolutely.
Just finding out what it is that we could do to serve others, to bring additional value. Even if you're a parent, you're involved in consultative selling all day long. So you said people aren't seeking more information. They are seeking insight and wisdom. Give us an example of what is insight and wisdom versus what would just be the request for more information, which they don't need anymore because all the information in the world is available at our fingertips from every digital device standpoint. So what is insight and wisdom then?
Here's a quick example, a great question. I do a lot of work with BMW in Europe, and one of the things that they found in the UK was that just a little bit over 6 trips were necessary to turn a prospect into a customer. In other words, the typical car buyer would visit 6 dealerships or make 6 dealership visits before a purchase decision. So if I was going to buy a BMW, I'd go in the BMW dealership and I'd look around, I'd talk to a salesperson, I'd drive one, but I'd also go see an Audi and a Mercedes and a Lexus, and I'd have a couple more conversations. Well, now that figure is down to about 1.7, and that's just over a 5-year period. It's dropped from over 6 to under 2 in just a 5-year period. So as they studied the reason why, it was because I don't need to go to the dealership to get information anymore. Now what I'm seeking is, why is this model better than the other model? I can look and see, you know, the wheelbase and the driving characteristics. I even have reviews and evaluations from independent sources. Now, Ms. Salesperson, help me understand why this is better. In my situation, knowing that I've got 2 kids, why would this be a better choice as opposed to the other choices? And so that's information that's harder to find. Darren, you could provide me with all kinds of information, facts, figures, studies. But when you say, you know, Scott, I know your situation, and given what you're trying to do in your business, here's my recommendation for it. That's what we're desperately seeking. Help us make sense of all this. And those organizations that find a way to make it enjoyable and to make it easy to use and to help us make sense and understand what we're buying in a way that it becomes more productive, those are organizations that are creating incredible competitive space in the market.
Man, all the salesperson has to say to me is, this is the model you're going to look best in.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. So, Scott, you know, if we've been talking about companies like BMW, and of course, not everybody listening owns a large business or maybe even a small one. So I want to be sure that everybody listening gets included in this conversation.
Sure.
Some are running everything by themselves. So does this uniformity phenomenon apply to the sole proprietor as well?
Oh, absolutely, Darren. And that's part of why I use the cab driver as my metaphor. And when you ask about something that really inspired me, that's why Taxi Terry is such an inspiration. At the time we met, it's one guy in one cab trying to put food on the table and keep a roof over his head. And, you know, if you think about it, you mentioned earlier the how many yellow cabs there are in the world, and trying to stand out as a sole proprietor in that business is extraordinarily difficult, but he found a way to do it. And now he's built an incredibly successful business that started out with just one guy in one car. To the point that a few months ago, he had Bill Clinton in his back seat. You know, the subtitle of my latest book is When Great Isn't Good Enough to Grow Your Business. What we found is there's a lot of businesses out there that have moved from good to great. But great doesn't make you distinctive in the marketplace. Great doesn't set you apart. In many businesses, you've got to be amazing just to get recognized. And so what I try to study is, for the individual practitioner or the large company, what does it take to stand out and make a difference in your market?
Yeah, I've said many times before that good, if you're good in today's market, you're dead. If you're great, you will struggle to survive. You have to, as you said, be amazing, and then you will truly thrive, because so few actually find themselves in that position. So let's try to help those listening become taxi-tary themselves. I mean, we've determined thus far that uniformity is the enemy of wow customer service. So that means that distinction is the savior. So in your book, Create Distinction, you give readers the four cornerstones of distinction. So I'd love for you to share those with us today. The first, if I recall, is clarity. So describe how clarity affects our goals of wow customer service, and how do we develop clarity as a business or as a professional?
Clarity was amazing to me in the research, Darren, because in part of what surprised me in the research was it also tended to go in this particular order. It wasn't that an organization did all four of these simultaneously. This was a strategy. So the distinctive organizations and the distinctive professionals almost unanimously began with clarity. Where is our flag in the ground? And part of where I found that was so hard, particularly for small business and independent business, is that it also meant we had to decide what we are not. You know, somebody comes along with a one-time project and you think you can make a little extra, and so it's very tempting to dilute your clarity to grab an immediate deal. And having grown up in a family that had an independent grocery store, just a small grocery, I know how easy it is to be distracted, always chasing that one sale or that one idea, and very seldom do we begin with that clarity. So an exercise that I use is based on an old Hollywood approach called the high concept. In the old days of movies, they used to say that they were going to entice an audience by telling you what the plot of a movie is. Then they realized, well, you don't have time to listen to that. So they developed what was called the high concept, a short, powerful, grabbing statement that engaged the audience. So if I say bomb on a bus, you think of the movie Speed, even though the movie's over 15 years old, it took you 2 hours to watch. I can say shark attacks, and you know exactly that I'm talking about Jaws. It's finding a way to identify what you do so clearly, so precisely, that two things happen. Number one, it creates identification. And secondly, it inspires an additional question. Here's a specific example. I'm doing a program for financial professionals, and this guy comes up and he says, hey, I'll try my high concept out on you. I'll build your financial future. And I acted like I was going to sleep. You know, that's not distinctive at all. Well, come to find out, the guy is a retired Air Force pilot beginning a second career. So now when people say, well, what do you do? He says, I fly people through financial turbulence. Well, that makes us go, tell us more about that. Also, he focuses on product lines that are safe and secure and a low tolerance of risk as his target client. On the other hand, my wife was Papa John's babysitter, so I always bring this up. When John Schnatter started his very first Papa John's, he said, better ingredients, better pizza. So of the national chains, you tend to think of them as being a higher quality product. So the fundamental question is, where's your flag in the ground? What do you stand for? What are you clear about that will make a fundamental difference? Can you describe what you do in 6 seconds?
So great, getting the high concept clear. So let's go to cornerstone number two, which is creativity. I mean, the common feeling is that you're either creative or you aren't. So explain what we can do if we think that we or our company lacks the creative gene, so to speak.
Darren, what I found was that there's a big misunderstanding about what kind of creativity drives business. It's not that we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater and start all over again and blow everything up. It's that we find one specific point and turn it upside down. While we do everything else, we execute on every other level with a high degree of precision and accuracy. Sometimes non-creative people assume that creativity means chaos, and it doesn't. The two examples that I use are enterprise rental car, to be kind of a big picture, you know, global type of example. In the rental car business, the products are identical. The Ford I get from Hertz is identical to the one that I get from Enterprise. Enterprise did one thing creatively. They pick you up. They found one thing, how the customer accesses the product, and they turned it on its head. A smaller regional business up in the Pacific Northwest is Les Schwab Tires. They sell the same Goodyears, the same Bridgestones that everybody else sells. But when you pull in a Les Schwab, a smartly uniformed employee bolts out of the door and sprints up to your car, I thought I was being carjacked. You know, they run up to your car and they welcome you to Les Schwab and they get down on their hands and knees. And so doing that one thing that they call sudden service, they run out to serve you, even though they're selling the same tires. They have the highest market share and highest margins in most of the communities that they do business. Think about that. We sell more of the same stuff at a higher price than our competition. So finding just one thing that you could turn on its head, make that list of every single point of contact, and from that, pick one single spot where you're going to do something uniquely and creatively and turn it on its head, and it'll help you stand out in a crowded marketplace.
So that brings us to cornerstone number three, and that's communication. So tell us exactly what we might be doing wrong with our customer communications now, and then how ultimately we can have more wow with them and not just be effective, so to speak.
Darren, I've seen you speak, and I know that you're a master of this, and what we found in our research was the importance of telling a story. I was invited to go back home to my little town in Indiana where I grew up and speak to the teachers, and I asked them what was the biggest problem in education, and she responded, Sesame Street. And I was blown away. You know, Sesame Street's a wonderful program. She said, Scott, who taught you your ABCs? And I said, well, you know that, Ms. Ellie, my grandmother. She said, exactly. For the last 30-plus years, kids have been taught their ABCs by Big Bird and Bert and Ernie, and they arrive on the schoolyard step their first day expecting to be entertained as they're educated. And that just blew me away. It means that our customers now want narrative. They've been taught through stories and through characters, and now the distinctive organizations communicate with their feelings and communicate through narrative and story, not just a recitation of facts, figures, and studies. Now, it doesn't mean they don't want the information. They do want it and require it. It's how we present the information that makes all the difference in the world. If all we're doing is imparting information, we're putting our audience to sleep. Until we start engaging them through the power of story, we fail to communicate with them at a distinctive level.
So then now, Scott, the fourth cornerstone I think is particularly interesting, and that's the customer experience focus. So start by explaining what is important about this particular cornerstone and then how it differs from our standard quote-unquote customer service, especially since our goal is always wow customer service.
You bet, Darren. We found that there are three levels at which any business or any individual professional interacts with their customers. Level number one is processing. Customers don't want you to make it right. Customers want you to get it right. And if you don't get it right for them, then all the smiling and all the other things that we do have relatively little traction. If they don't believe that we've gone to the mat to do it right for them, then all the other aspects that we bring into play don't matter. You know, I mean, when I'm flying Delta Airlines, which is the one I fly the most, you know, service matters because I feel safe on the plane. If the plane is heading into the ground, I don't care how hot my coffee is that the flight attendants brought me, right? So getting it right is absolutely critical. But once we move on from level one, which is processing, then we move up to level two, which is service. Service are all those things that we do to make processing more efficient and more enjoyable. So as I'm on the plane, the flight attendant brings the hot coffee. That's customer service. And she does it with a smile. Man, that even makes it better. Or they tell jokes like they do on Southwest, and that makes it extraordinary. The third and highest level of customer interaction is the experience. And the difference between service and experience is that experience adds the elements of personalization and emotion. So when something connects with me personally, in other words, I hear a program like this, for example, and I'm thinking, man, this is how I'm going to use it in my business. Now it's an experience. And when I connect with it emotionally, when I have feelings about it, it takes it to a higher level. Customer loyalty is only created at level three. It's only created at the level of experience because we'll never become loyal to something towards which we have no feeling. And so that's why customer experience focus was the fourth and probably most important cornerstone of the four, because the distinctive organizations had an obsession with what does it feel like to do business with us. And so by finding a way to create connections with our customers that transcend transaction, to focus on how they feel about doing business with us is a critical aspect in creating distinction in your marketplace.
So before we move on, Scott, I just want to summarize and simplify what we've covered thus far. People Sure. are taking notes, okay? So first out of 4 points is one idea. What's your one descriptive term that in itself is creative and distinctive? And then what's the one behavior that would be creative and distinctive that would make you stand out from somebody else's experience? And then number three is, how do you engage with story? How does your story become a narrative rather than just a litany of facts? And then four, making sure that you're providing an experience end to end and that you are thinking through the whole customer experience through the front door and out the back door. So one idea, one behavior, engage with story and design an experience end to end. So now that we have the cornerstones in mind, demonstrate for us some examples of companies or professionals who use the 4 points as you tell the example so that that we can kind of reaffirm what it is that we've already heard through the examples of others. Do you have a couple in mind?
Yeah, let me talk about a financial advisor that I know in Florida, and she went to the program, and she's a big fan of the sport of polo. So she started to change her practice, and she finally came to the clarity that she was only going to provide financial advice and financial services for people involved with the sport of polo. So she moved all of her other clients to other financial advisors, and she was absolutely clear, if you're not involved in the sport of polo, then I am not going to entertain serving you as a client. So she was very clear about that. Then she developed some creative marketing strategies, some creative approaches, because notice how those two go hand in hand. It's a little bit easier to be creative. You know, how do you be creative in terms of the wide scope of financial services is a terribly difficult question. But I can get creative when it comes to serving folks with polo. You know, I can give them a gift certificate at a place that does horseshoes. I can find ways to promote the colors of their particular team. Then she started communicating stories about how her clients had found great success with her because she knew them so well. Now, she didn't make herself the hero of her own story. She made the client the hero because of the choice that they made. And then she went to, in terms of the customer experience, she attends every polo match you can possibly find. She finds ways to host wine tastings at polo matches. She does incredible things in terms of the experience. And the result is she's now one of the most profitable and sought-after financial advisors in her institution. She followed those four cornerstones in order and created a great experience. But it doesn't have to be at the high end of you know, a financial advisor for polo. Taxi Terry followed those same four in terms of creating great clarity. He was going to provide the most enjoyable ride that you could possibly have. He was going to focus on the clarity of making a taxi experience different. So creativity, the way that he greets customers, the fact that he has a little thing in the dashboard that always has the weather forecast on weather.com. So when you get in the cab, you see what the weather forecast is going to be for your stay. And he even has ways to give you golf courses nearby if the weather's good, or activities in the Jacksonville area if the weather's bad. Communication. He tells the story of why he's different. He tells the story of what makes him stand out in the marketplace. And through that, telling stories about his clients and the services that he's provided inspires people to do more business with him. And he's one of the best I've ever seen at the customer experience focus. How many cabs do you get into that are absolutely spotless and clean and have water? Yeah, limos are that way, but not a typical cab. The newspaper is there. It's neatly folded. All of these amazing things that he does to create the experience. When I first rode with him, it's one guy in one cab. Last time I talked to him, he's got 7 cabs, 9 drivers full-time, and expanding into the limo business, which is how I got the chance to drive former President Clinton. So whether you're driving a cab or you're in financial services or even if you're Apple, those same cornerstones, when you apply them diligently, directly, and effectively, can make a huge difference in your business. And the other thing that we found is that the people that do it tend to have more fun because their customers that they're serving are having a better time, and so it becomes more enjoyable to do business with them. And it just grows your business. It grows your practice. It grows your opportunities.
Yeah. To answer your question, I've never been in a clean taxi cab in my life. So I still think this story might be mythological or fiction at best.
A couple things is an aside there. First off, Taxi Terry called me a while back and he said, "Hey, Scott, that story that you tell about me is on YouTube. Do you mind if I put it on my website so people know it's about me?" And I said, are you kidding me? I'd love for you to put it there because half the people I talk to think I'm making it up.
Yeah. So let's hope that those listening have been inspired. And this year they say, okay, I am going to re-architect every touch point of my customer experience, and I'm going to provide wow customer service. So just one more question for you today. If you could leave everybody with one distinctive thing to remember, so 6 months from now when they're recalling this particular interview, this still stands out in their mind, something that they can think about each day as they enter the marketplace, leave their home to go out and conquer the world. What's one thing that they can keep as their mantra, so to speak, to be sure that they are out there doing wow in the world and keeping themselves distinctive?
My favorite is this one. The purpose of any business is to profitably create experiences so compelling to customers that their loyalty becomes assured. That's what I keep telling myself all the time. If I could create an experience that's so compelling to my clients, my customers, that they go wow and can't think of, that they want to do business anyplace else, then my business will be a success no matter what. And I just don't know how it gets any better than that.
Well, Mr. Scott McCain, thank you for this distinctive conversation, and thank you for sharing your great ideas with us here at Success.
It's a privilege, Darren. Thank you so much.
Success Audio Series, copyright Success Media, all rights reserved.